We have assisting me in the Opani department, a friend of the show, Mark Levine, former congressional attorney and Washington, D.C. radio host on Pacifica Radio's WPFW. If you want to learn more about him, go to www.marklevineradio.com. That's L-E-V-I-N-E, radio. That's marklevineradio.com. Mark, good to have you, buddy. How are you today?
I'm okay, Alan. How are you?
Hanging in. Been kind of a strange week. Lots of silly stuff going on. I want to cover as much as we can with you. We've covered the Weeniegate a little bit here. I want to give you a chance to weigh in on it and then get to some other things that are also pressing. Most familiar with the congressman's predicament seem to feel that he kind of brought it on his own. He don't have a lot of Democrats defending him. Again, just to catch people up or just to recap for those just joining us, we're talking about a guy who essentially was caught up in something that he may not have seen coming, even though he perhaps triggered it. This photo of a man from the waist down was sent to a young college student in Seattle, Washington, as I recall. This from his Twitter account. Now, he claims that his account was hacked into, but turns out the Capitol Hill police were never prevailed upon to investigate, which tells a lot of people, Mark, that perhaps he's lying. The logic is that if all this were really true, he'd have absolutely no compunction whatsoever in having the Capitol Hill folks investigate, but is avoiding this. He's avoiding this because making a false report to them would be indeed a federal crime. In your estimation, is he dodging personal responsibility by way of characterizing the inquiries as somehow worse than what he may have done?
In my estimation, there should have been no inquiries. It's been shown there is a hole in the WiFrog account that allows anyone to hack into it via an email system. The Capitol Police can't trace email. Now, maybe the cyber police need to be contacted, but I agree with you that it's unfortunate and it's silly, and I frankly wish that Congressman Wiener had spent no time on it. He simply needed to say, my account was hacked, someone else sent that picture. Here's how I know that all this is a real, real dirty trick. Here is the essence, the proof. The proof is the first person to report it was Andrew Breitbart, the king of dirty tricks, the man who edited audio and video to make Acorn look bad when they did nothing wrong, edited audio and video to make NPR look bad when they did nothing wrong, and then edited audio and video to make Sherrod seem like a racist when she was not. So I say if it comes from Andrew Breitbart, you can assume it's a lie and just move on until you actually have a reputable source.
Well, I know Andrew Breitbart, and I think he has as much veracity as I believe you have. I believe you have different views. You have different views, but the problem with your response, really, is that it's predicated on a bad faith disconnected measure versus the legitimate one already in place. Now, I've had to argue this before. The only legitimate measure of relevant points in a debate or discussion is the one born out of the original rub first exposing the conflict. Otherwise, you could take any argument and expand it into a multitude of other arguments, essentially allowing you to escape from your half of the original rub just because you could not defend it. Now, I'm not so much focusing this on you as I am Anthony Weiner. An example of a disconnected measure to a question would be, hey, why did you rob that house? Answer, well, I didn't hurt anybody. Oh, come on. The measure of relevance is about what you did do, not what you did not do. Even media matters. Has learned to drop that masturbated sophistry on my show. So I ask you again, is he blaming others for consequences of his own making?
You know what? I firmly believe that people should have a right to privacy and still go into public office. And I think this idea that anything anyone does in their private life is our business, whether or not, you know, I mean, I don't know, Alan, whether you have porn on your computer or not, but you know what? I don't have a right to know. It's none of my business. And if somebody broke into your house and found you had dirty pictures on your computer and splashed them all over the internet and then demanded that you say whether they're yours or not, I'd say, unfair question. They broke into your house, prosecute them. I don't care whether Alan has porn. I only care if something's illegal. Now, if something's illegal, you know, what John Edwards or John Ensign have done, paying off mistresses and all that, then it's relevant.
But you know, I think a guy, you know Eugene Robinson, right?
I do. I don't know him personally, but I do respect him.
But he's a devout progressive all day long.
Yep.
All day long. And I think he encapsulated it rather responsibly. He said, another immutable rule, this one about how high-riding politicians are most frequently brought down, it's not the crime, it's the government. In Wiener's case, there isn't even a crime. He
right.
doesn't think so, at least. Yet, his clumsy, let me finish, yet his clumsy attempts at telling half-truths and issuing non-denial denials have raised non-trivial questions about veracity and thus integrity. You see, here's the crux of it. The guy originally said that he could not say with certitude whether or not it was his photo, this underwear-clad crotch, okay?
Right.
He says now, however, he says now that he won't deny that the shot is him. And I'm curious, unless the guy's got a bunch of these in stock, how dizzying of an assessment should this be for him?
Not at all. Alan, do you think that someone should be disqualified from public office because they take a naked picture? I mean, what's her name? The talk radio host, Dr. Laura, had pictures of her breast.
But it's the wrong measure. I don't care. It's the wrong measure. The measure isn't whether or not you had this photo.
Right?
The measure is not whether or not you had the photo up there. The measure is if you're asked a direct question about whether or not it's you, and you try to give an answer that leaves the impression that it's not, but you're doing so in a way that doesn't really nail you as denying it so as to not be seen as falsely committing anything. That's where he loses credibility, and I think Eugene Robinson's onto something.
Here's my problem. I have a real problem. You know, Dr. Laura apparently exposed her breast 20 years ago.
Yeah.
That was brought up. Apparently, Bill O'Reilly had some dirty talk with a woman. You know what? I don't care. Made it public. I don't like the fact that everyone's privacy becomes immediately public. I felt the same way with...
Well, that comes with the turf, my friend. I'm running for public office. It comes for the turf. Laws have been written about this. You know that. You know public officials, for instance, if they feel that they have been slandered or libeled, the threshold for proving it is much, much higher. New York Times versus Sullivan, 64. They got the same thing for celebrities. Associated Press versus Walker, 67. Now, they reined it in a little bit, so that people who merely had some prominence could still be protected. I think they did that in Gertz versus Robert Welch, 74. I don't want to get into the weeds here too much. But when we get back, a little bit more on Wienergate or Weenie Peeny Gate, and then, of course, on to the debt ceiling debate and whether or not we're going to see some significant cuts with the debt ceiling hike used as leverage to bring them about. You are with Battleline, Main Street Radio Network. I'm Alan Nathan. Welcome back, everybody. Welcome back. I'm yours, Alan Nathan. We have assisted me in the Opani Department. Old friend of the show, Mark Levine, former congressional attorney and Washington, D.C. radio host on Pacifica Radio's WPFW. He, of course, can be learned more about by simply going to his website, marklevineradio.com. That's marklevineradio.com. That's L-E-V-I-N-E, radio.com. Mark, good to have you back.
Thank you.
Just a little bit more on the matter surrounding Anthony Weiner, we'll get by this quickly. I had his cousin on, who's Bob Weiner. He, of course, former communications director for Clinton Drugs, our General Barry McCaffrey, former communications director for both Conyers and Rangel of Michigan and New York, respectively. He's also former chief of staff of the House Committee on Age. The guy's got a lot of experience. Even he could not defend Weiner on this one. His own cousin, he thinks, made some mistakes. But looking more again at Eugene Robinson, who is the archetypal left progressive, hard left progressive, was not at all inclined to defend him. He added to his column, and it was just out on Friday, June 3rd's edition of the Washington Post, quote, he insisted someone else, this is to say Anthony Weiner, Eugene Robinson reading writing about him, he insisted someone else had sent the photo. But when asked if he had contacted authorities to launch an investigation into the hacking of his Twitter account, Weiner said he had not. The police had more important things to worry about, he said, so he was conducting his own investigation with the help of a private firm. Right, Samuel is continuing to say. Right, so there's no public interest in tracking down someone who can hack into the private internet accounts of sitting members of Congress, many of whom want an FBI investigation every time someone wants to cut them off in traffic. Does Mr. Robinson have a point?
No.
Alan, in what way? How is he wrong?
I want to know what you would do. So, okay, someone hacks into, someone goes into your house, all right, takes images off your computer. Maybe it's a love letter you sent. Maybe it's a racy image you've kept on your computer. Maybe it's some private matter that you don't want disclosed because you know what? We all have privacy.
Sure.
Now, what would you do, Alan? They ask you this private thing. Maybe it's a fight you've had with your wife. Who knows what it is? Who cares? But they ask you whether it's true or not, and they say you're a public figure. You have to answer. What would you do? Wouldn't you say the proper thing to say is, I'm not going to dignify this crime by responding to it? That's exactly what the criminal wanted, was to try to embarrass me. It's disgusting and it's wrong. And if everyone refused to dignify these things, we'd be less likely to have these invasions of privacy.
Unfortunately, that's also
was an answering questions, not in refusing to answer.
That's also the last refuge of those who genuinely do lie. So the person who's lying is going to use the same response as the person who's telling the truth. I think he gets into trouble when he skips around whether or not the shot is of him. The guy did not commit a crime. He's done nothing wrong. But as Mr.
That's
Robinson
right.
points out, it has to do with veracity and integrity when you're asked a straightforward question about whether or not it's you in your underwear.
And
now, it looks like a self-photo shot.
I'm not going to respond because
what's that?
It would be a bad precedent, right?
What's that?
I mean, that's, to me, the right answer. That's what I think Bill Clinton should have said when they asked about his extramarital affairs. I'm not going to answer. It would set a bad precedent. I want to know if you think, Alan Nathan, that every single member of Congress and every single celebrity and maybe even every talk radio host, which includes you and me, should have every single piece of our private matter we've ever done exposed to the general public. And if you don't believe that, and I don't think you do, and I don't, then maybe we should have a little bit of sympathy for Anthony Weiner, who's been the subject of a dirty trick.
But if those are your measures, then people have the perfect recipe to dodge accountability for direct questions, which may, in part, be jumbled up around some of the things that are not our business with other things that are. He made it. It became public when it hit his Twitter site. So claims to privacy are not going to have the least infinitesimal correlative relevance to the discussion that's now transpiring between you and I.
If someone breaks into your house and exposes everything on your computer,
that assumes that it did. That assumes that the break-in happened. That assumes that the break-in happened. That assumes that the break-in happened. Something that I would believe with a lot more alacrity and dispatch if he wasn't so hesitant about having the Capitol Hill authorities investigate whether or not someone's hacking his account. You can't, on one hand, tell the people on the public stage that you've been hacked, and on the other hand, not tell the Capitol Police to help you out, but instead hire your own attorney. It doesn't pass the laugh test.
Sure you can, Alan. If
no,
somebody,
you can't.
What would you do? What would you do? I want to know. Put yourself in Anthony Weiner's shoes.
Hey, I'm the most lubricious, licentious character walking on the face of the earth. That's why I work out all the time, because as far as I'm concerned, you never know if you're going to wind up naked. I'll tell the world right now, as I've already said on my show, I'm a former stripper, okay? I'm a former stripper. I don't care. But the thing is we're not caring about the lewd picture itself. We're caring about his assertion that he was hacked on one hand, but on the other, not bothering to take the normal steps that anybody would if they truly believe they were hacked, especially a sitting official.
Look,
that's it. You can't impede the very thing you demand and still be taken seriously.
I hope there's a criminal investigation. Andrew Breitbart ends up in handcuffs. All right.
Oh, by the way, as far as the little reference to Acorn has a multitude of examples where they have been dragged into court and found guilty for voter registration fraud. That's the deal. All right.
That's true.
That's the deal.
The main thing is that Andrew Breitbart slandered them. All right, and someone needs to
He successfully attacked them. They have a horrible record, and they deserve getting it up the ass. I was delighted watching Acorn get it up the ass. They have been disruptive to the electoral process for too long, and I am delighted Acorn got it up the ass, as they deserved.
Many liberals would be delighted to find pictures of George Bush naked having sex with a cow because they want to get George Bush, all right? That doesn't mean if it's Photoshopped that it's fair. They lied about Acorn. They lied about Schroeder.
Where do you say? Predicated on what? You can't say. Predicated on what? You can't say where they lied about Acorn.
I'll be very specific. I will be
I watched the videos. Acorn was very, very receptive to people who pretended to be pimps and prostitutes and offered an opportunity to aid and abet them in an action that they should not have been caught executing. Their own fault.
I will bet you $100 right here on air that no one with a pimp costume ever walked into any Acorn office and Acorn did anything wrong. James O'Keefe did not wear the pimp costume. That's the funny thing. That's what wasn't reported in the media. Even the woman that went with him admitted he never used a pimp costume. He took a film of himself outside and pretended he walked in with a pimp costume when he never did. And
let's say for argument's sake, you're right. He never walked in with a pimp costume. That does not take away in any way, shape, or form what the words were coming out of the mouths of multiple people who worked for Acorn. That's on them. Look, words have meaning. And if you're going to use these words, what you say must have something to do with what they mean. I watched all the videos, and even if you take the pimp factor out of the equation, these ladies said what they said in response to questions talking about how do we hide activities of sexual trafficking of young girls.
No, they were fine with it.
But you know what? I'm looking at the clock. Don't have a lot of time. I want to get back to something else here. The raising of the debt ceiling. Speaker John Boehner is saying that the dollars we cut should equal the dollars we add to the debt ceiling. Do you see that as an eventual deal? Because you may recall the president, as well as the Democrats, had for a very, very long time said these two should not be linked, that we should not link the raising of the debt ceiling with spending cuts. But a few days ago, the House put that demand up for a vote and delivered the result of 318-97 against the debt ceiling being raised without cuts attached. Now, apparently 89 Democrats agreed with the GOP while 7 voted present. This seemingly indicates that the polls against them on this issue are having an impact. What kind of cuts do you see the GOP being able to secure with this debt ceiling leverage?
First of all, Boehner and the Republicans admitted to Wall Street that actually the vote was a sham. They said specifically, this is a show. We know you don't take this seriously. This is just to trick the Tea Party. They specifically told Wall Street. The answer is,
if you have a vote that unambiguously disabuses assertions made by the opposition party and you can illustrate that, you would be out of your ever-loving mind not to do so.
In 02, 03, 04, 06, 07, and twice in 08, the Republicans raised the debt ceiling and the Democrats got nothing for it. Had they insisted on something, that the Republicans would have said, you're trying to bring us economic Armageddon. I do not believe the Republicans can use the same technique that the Democrats failed to do without causing the American people to recognize that they caused the second Great Depression.
Meanwhile, we've got a president who belongs into the do as I say, not as I do crowd, because when he was a senator, he voted against raising the debt ceiling.
You're right about
but
that.
Now that the circumstances are switched, he finds Jesus at the end, I don't buy it.
You're
I don't
right
buy
about
it.
That.
Also, I want to talk about Debbie Wasserman Schultz. She came out with some incredible mischaracterizations. She said that she characterized it as a program that would throw you to the wolves. This is Medicare via the Ryan plan. Throw you to the wolves and allow insurance companies to deny you coverage and drop you for pre-existing conditions. We're going
That's
to
correct.
Give you X amount of dollars and you figure it out. And we have the AP fact check people nailing her for this. In truth, the title of the report is Democrats Distort GOP Plan. Hey, they say the plan forbids insurance companies from denying coverage to anyone qualifying for Medicare. It forbids anyone being turned down for pre-existing conditions. The plan is unchanged for 55 and over. Why does she say that, which is so easily and empirically verifiable, as being the opposite?
The only time it's true, Alan, is where he accepts the Obama plan. Thank you, Democrats, for doing that. And I hope our Ryan doesn't undo it with his plan.
Mark, thanks. Battleline, stick with us.